question many Bulls fans are asking currently is, do the Chicago Bulls stay the course of patience, or do they make a move and a swing at a player in this upcoming offseason to add to what they already have on this roster? We'll talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into it for today, y'all. And what's going on with the Bulls, man? And this is going to be an answer that we don't have for quite a while, right? You have your Bulls fans. Well, you have the patience that Arturis Karnisova asked for in the season ending press conference. But, you know, the Bulls are set up. We've talked a lot about the assets over this last week that the Bulls have at their disposal, right? $81 million in expiring contracts, tons of first-round picks, second-round picks all the way throughout the future of this draft as well. Like, the Bulls are really set up in one of the best places that they've been in for a while. And is it now a time where you should go in, right? People asking questions like, should the Bulls trade for Jonathan Kuminga? Actually brought that up as in regards to maybe a Nikola Vucevic trade. Right now, I think if you can get Kuminga back in a sign-in trade with the Golden State Warriors, it ends up sending Nikola Vucevic out. But keep in mind, one thing that I didn't bring up there is that only half of Kuminga's base salary would count towards matching. But with that said, the Golden State Warriors have, I think, $29 million underneath the first tax apron, depending on how they redo their deals. That could be enough, right? And Kuminga is a player that I know a lot of Bulls fans don't have the best outlook on. The way that I look at it is this, right? At Kuminga still being 22 years old, having 4 years of an experience in the NBA, yeah, the question is how much you would have to pay him, and that's where the problem comes in at, right? But for the last year that he was started the most games in 2023-24, he scored 16 points off 11 shots per game. Now, the percentages were decent, right? 52% from the field, 32% from three, also chipping in 5 rebounds, 2 assists, those type of things. And the question is, would a player like that fit in? But even outside of that, right, you have Bulls fans asking about Zion Williamson and Domantas Sabonis and those type of things. And listen, while some of those names, and I get it, a conversation could be made about any of those players, right? Yeah, you know, especially the guys that have this big Zion fetish, right, for whatever that's worth. They look at Zion and they're like, oh, my God. But when he's on and the Bulls, have y'all not gotten tired of acquiring players with already major injury history? I'm just wondering about that. I don't know if Bulls fans will ever learn by that. But while there are fans, as a fan, you can look at the standpoint of always the next thing, right? But as a front office, you gotta really look at more things than just that, right? And that's the place that this front office is at. And I think the thing that's most likely, especially with AK himself saying it, is that you're probably not going to see the Bulls make any considerable swing, at least for the next, until the summer of 2026, right? We actually got a voicemail, one of those as well. But, you know, that's the thing. Now, could something pops up that maybe shifts the dynamic there and the view there? It's a possibility, right? Things have happened there before when it's come down to it. And I think that there's always an option of maybe something presented to stuff that you just didn't expect. But then again, I don't know if that's where the Bulls currently are right now, right? Like, we'll see. Now, the free agent class this year is not the class that I think you gear for, even though the Bulls, you know, after signing, re-signing Josh Giddey and their draft pick and still have $19-ish million beneath the first tax apron, I still don't think that this is the year where the Bulls go all in. Now, trade is a little bit different, right? We talked about the $81 million in expiring contracts that they have that could allow them and afford them an ability to go out there and land some other players, right? There is that chance of that for sure. But I think ultimately when you look down at it, like, Kyrie Irving probably going to stay. He's probably going to pick up his player option, especially with him being hurt. LeBron's picking up that player option. He's probably going to stay there. John Collins, he's picking up that player option that he has of $26 million because that money's not going to be out there right there for him on the free agent market. Julius Randle, probably staying, picking up that free agent, that player option there. So that's where you look at. Now, you do have unrestricted free agents like a Bruce Brown Jr. I'm neither here nor there. If the Bulls are further along, maybe. Malcolm Brogdon, I don't really think helps the Bulls with where they are right now. Miles Turner, now that's one that Bulls fans could be interested in. That's one of the ones we actually got a voicemail on, so I'm going to hold on. We're going to put a pin in that, right? But overall, I think when it comes down to it, this is not the offseason. Now, a guy like Naz Reid with a player option, if he opts out, I wouldn't mind the Bulls making a phone call, seeing what they can get to bring in Naz Reid here at 25 years old. I think he could do wonders for the Chicago Bulls. But then again, I still say, you know, if we draft a center this year, keep Zach Collins, Jalen Smith, one of those guys, maybe we don't look to do anything, right? It's the Bulls are in a spot that they found themselves at before, but with a younger roster and more assets, right? The Bulls have been in spots where they need something clearly on their roster. And this is the season where the Bulls, they clearly need a defensive-minded center. It's clear. When you look at having Kobe, when you look at having Josh Giddey, it's clear that a defensive-minded center would do so much. A rim-protecting big that also is a lob threat would do so much wonders to help round out the Chicago Bulls offense, right? And we've been in this spot before where we need shot blocking, where we need a rim protection. The fortunate part then is that the Bulls just didn't have assets. They didn't have the future cap space. So when they missed and they decided not to draft a Walker Kessler, it was a little bit bigger, right? In this case, the Bulls have big-time money coming in free agent market. And yes, that's even if they re-sign Kobe, even if they re-sign Io, even if they re-sign Josh Giddey. All those things could happen, and the Bulls still have tremendous cap flexibility when it all comes down to it. And so the dangers of going in too soon are still there. That's what hurt the Chicago Bulls before. They were a team, they saw a little bit of glimmer, and they went in too far. Hold the course, right? Just calm down, wait a little bit, right? The only perimeter defender we have right now on this team is Io Desumo. Lonzo Ball, I guess, as well, but again, I'm not betting on the health of Lonzo Ball going into another season. But then when you look at the defensive big options here for the Chicago Bulls, Kamon Maloa, Colin Murray-Boyles, Thomas Sorber, right? These are all good guys that really bring a lot of what you need. Asa Newell is another guy that I'm really high on. I can't wait. If you guys can't, we got to get through the rest of these player grades, and then the draft content is starting, and I can't wait. It's going to start right around the time of the draft combine. We're going to get into our bag there. But with that said, look, you look at what we have and what could potentially be there, and there are guys that fit. Now, I still think that the Bulls should still go best available. I still think that's the only option as well, just because of, you know, the Bulls need talent, you know, and we'll see how that shakes out. And, you know, how the Bulls attack the draft, I think, is going to inform a lot of what the future could hold and where they can look to maybe fill some spots with some free agents and some other veterans around. But this, when AK came out there and asked for patience, that was basically the bat signal of it ain't coming. Like, this is not the year. And I know some Bulls fans, like I said, Sabonis and Zion. And while you can make a case for those guys, the Bulls giving up the assets and where they stand right now is highly unlikely, right? The Giannis, the truthers, those people are the worst where it stands right now. They're almost as bad as the Chris Duarte truthers this offseason, but at least Giannis is worth having truthers for. The Chris Duarte truthers this offseason were very, very very weird people. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you have that. And I think this is just going to be, you know, the Bulls really are going to win. And I think it's the right thing to do, right? It's to see how much of the way that the Bulls ended the season was legitimate. And no, one playing game does not answer that question or not. Not wholly. It raises some questions for sure, but it doesn't answer the thing there, despite what some people would have you feel and think, right? So when it comes down to it, it's just simple. The Bulls are going to go have a offseason where they draft a free agent. They draft a rookie in the first round. They draft a rookie in the second round, unless they move it, right? And then they're going to come back with primarily the same team, minus THT, more than likely, maybe minus Trey Jones, what happens there. And they're gonna run back the same team and see, all right, can you guys do what you did at the end of last season? Can you do that? How much of that was legitimate, right? Even if not 100% of it was, how much of it was? And then that's going to help inform them in actually knowing how close they are and how much they can push their chips in the summer of 2026 to try to get the right pieces to get this team then over whatever hump they're at that point. Can't say the hump, right? But whatever hump, right? The Bulls finished the season with a 43-win pace. I think it was 43-45 win pace, somewhere between there. And I think that that's fair to come into that season, into next season, with that expectation. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to live up to it, but to say that's the goal, maybe goal. Goal is probably a better word than expectation. With that goal, let's get to 41 wins at a minimum, right? Let's do that. If we can get to 41 wins with the way that this team plays, hopefully next season, and young pieces that are still developing in Modest and whoever the rookie are, cool. right? Now, if for some reason you take a step back and maybe it's more like 36 wins, then maybe you start looking at, again, keep in mind, they're still trying to do their full evaluation to see Coby White. Is he going to be worth that investment? Which I think they got to have that answer sooner rather than later. But those are things that are presenting themselves this offseason for the Bulls. And, you know, I get it that they have more of a direction, but it's still a direction that's developing. And we'll see where that goes over the course of this offseason. But you guys can let me know how you feel on all of that down below. All right, let's get into these voicemails. It is mailbag day. This first voicemail, this one's from Five King.
What's up, Hayes? This is your boy, Indigenous Five King. Long time, you know what I'm saying, subscriber. Barely get calling in sometime or, you know, doing the live chats because be working, you know, truck driver, be on the road. But love listening to your videos, man, and you keep me posted on the updates. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to talk to you definitely about, you know what I'm saying, ending of our season. Definitely was a good season. Definitely enjoyed it, you know, even though, you know, we fell to the Miami Heat, you know. And I see that everybody's, you know what I'm saying, about the AK and the things like that. And, you know, they going to do what they going to do regardless, man. But, you know, what I really want to talk about is, like, this upcoming draft, man. And if we get lucky, man, and we get the third pick or the fourth pick, I see us going with Ace Bailey. And if we don't get that, you know what I'm saying, and we're in the 12th or 13th, I'm looking at this guy, Thomas Thorber, for our center. You know what I'm saying? He looks really good, you know. Definitely, I love his energy. I love how he feels, guys, in the post. You know what I'm saying? His putbacks, you know, how he runs, how he defends, and how he playmakes. I think he definitely would be better than Derrick Queen. I think he's way more quicker, and you know what I'm saying? I love him in the post, even though Derrick Queen definitely has good post moves. But, you know, his athleticism isn't there. And if we get a pick in the second round, I don't know if you ever heard of this dude called Adu Dero, A-D-O-U, Dero, T-H-I-E-R-O. But, man, that's what I'm looking at, you know. But, you know, definitely, man, I appreciate your channel, man. And you keep me posting on everything when I'm out here on the road. So, appreciate you and keep up the good work, man. You've been doing your thing out there on Chicago Bulls Central. And again, man, this is Digital Fire King. You'll definitely be hearing me again, you know what I'm saying, doing more voicemails. But just give me your thoughts on that, man, and what do you see?
Ace Bailey, if we move into the top four, I don't think many Bulls fans are gonna knock you on that one. I mean, that would mean kind of a change of direction in some ways for the Chicago Bulls if they do move in top. And that's going to be one of the most interesting things. If the Bulls somehow move into the top four, right, where I still love VJ Edgecombe, I still love Ace Bailey, right? Like, what does that mean for the change of direction for your team? Ace Bailey can play the three, which then means you're probably locking in Modest Bouzillis to the four. You're keeping Coby White. He has tremendous upside, I think, both as a defender and as on the offensive side of the ball. And I would never be mad at Ace Bailey being a Chicago Bull. Now, I love that you also lived in reality and realized that's probably not going to happen. But if, you know, it is what it is. Thomas Thorber is not a bad name at all there. And, you know, I love Thomas Thorber for what he brings. It really depends on where the Bulls pick at. You guys know my favorite center prospect and where the Bulls are expected is Asa Newell. I love that. But I can't, not like, what if Derrick Queen's there on the board, right? Now, Thomas Thorber, according to some experts, is starting to move up, right? Meaning that he can even be in the top 10. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. I do think seeing how him and Derrick Queen, where they rise up, is going to be really important there. But overall, the way that this draft process works out, it's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch. And I do think, like, keep the outside chance that the Bulls actually pick a forward to be the long-term forward partner with Modest Bouzillis. That's also when they kick the center situation, that can down the road a little bit if that center just isn't on the board for them. Now, it could be. I'm not saying it's not going to be. I'm just saying prepare for any people who are looking at it and saying, oh, my God, the Bulls have to get a center in this draft. I mean, I would love for them to. But when you look at best talent available, that could go a different way as well. But we're going to get deep into our draft bag around next week. This upcoming week is probably going to be the last week where it's not very draft-focused heavy for Chicago Bulls Central for the next basically month at that point in time. So we're going to get deep into the draft bag. You guys just stay in tune with us there. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from the 630.
Hi, Hayes. This is my first time calling, but I watch your show all the time. I was listening to your episode with What's AK's Agenda this offseason, and you're right about the clickbait. I used to click on all big trade news and this and that. I don't do that no more. I just stick to your show. But I want to talk to you about what can we get for either Kobe or Josh Giddey this year, because during the draft, I think one of them has to go. I don't think we could depend on our backcourt. I don't think that, you know, I think we have to go. We don't want to have a top-heavy backcourt on our salary cap. We want to mix a little bit guard play and then a small forward, power forward, you know, and balance out the cap sheet. But who would get us more in a trade, Josh Giddey or Kobe White, if we went lottery hunting? And just curious. I like talking trades, realistic trades, but I think that's something to talk about. I love both players, but I think we have to we can't give them max contracts because we're not ready yet. We're not ready. When Maras comes up for a good extension, that's when we'll be ready to, you know. Well, I'll talk more. I'll call you again. We don't see Red. Love your show. Thanks, man.
Can't trade Giddey in the draft, brother. You can't do that. He's a restricted free agent. So meaning if they move Josh Giddey, it won't be till free agency. Now, Kobe, I don't think that they move Kobe, right? Now, I do agree with you in what you said, that if you're looking to move Kobe, Kobe would probably net you more right now. I just don't know if the Bulls are actively looking to move Kobe White, right? And I don't think that having the Bulls have a clear cap sheet. I don't know if you're worried about the money. I think they're fine. But think about it this way, right? You even mentioned Modest Buzilis' contract and his extension. Even if Giddey and Kobe sign the five-year max, which is unlikely, I want to be clear there, if they sign the full five-year max, they'd be coming off those deals by the time Modest Buzilis is ready for his extension, right? And keep in mind, even his rookie-scale extension, unless he makes several All-Star teams and wins the MVP, he's not going to be eligible for the Supermax. So then again, like, you're still going to be – like, where the Bulls are right now is in a place of this is the time where they can afford to give those contracts to Giddey and to Kobe and to give them that time to see how are they going to grow and develop. This is the time to do that, right? Because they sit perfectly in that time period where any major extensions that they have coming up after Kobe, Giddey, and IO, by the time those extensions kick in, the Bulls, and they can prepare for that too. Like, the Bulls can say, hey, let's get 3 years here. That gives you an opportunity to get back on the market sooner. And that means we can see where everything is and we don't have to worry about money at that point. The Bulls are in a place where cap flexibility is not the issue here for the Bulls. So I don't think you need to trade anybody just for cap flexibility. Now, I do think if you have an inkling, and I've said this before, that Kobe's not going to re-sign here, then you may have to move him. And that's not because of the money. That's because you can't afford to let him walk away for nothing, right? And that could go with everybody, with IO too. So I think overall that's the kind of focus here, not necessarily the money. The Bulls are in a really good space financially, even with the mandate by ownership not to go into the luxury tax. And that's a place that we haven't really been in ever. And so I think the Bulls sit in a pretty good spot. I'm not too worried about that 630, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one's from JC.
Hey, what up, man? This is JC from the 219. Just checking in, man. It's been a while since I called in. But, hey, man, I just want to leave a couple things on my mind. I went to that last Bulls game for the play-in tournament. I took my son there, man, and I was pretty pissed off at what I saw. You know, I could have spent that money on something else, but, you know, it is what it is. But just a few things, man, I've seen Patrick Williams, man, being the first one. He just didn't look engaged at all the whole night, not even looking at the rim. Just, I think he shot maybe two field goals that game, and that was it. But, you know, man, at this point, man, I was a big P. Will fan when he first came in the league. But at this point, man, I think I'm just kind of through with him, man, like everybody else is. I held on as long as I could, but, you know, it is what it is. The Peter Patton thing, man, really pisses me off. If you fire a guy like that, you better be bringing in somebody like Phil Handy. Something. Like, you got to make a better hire than this shit. Like, I don't understand what the fuck is going on. But, hey, man, we'll see what we get on draft night. I just watched a video about us not winning the tiebreaker, so it is what it is. Let's just hope this shit get right, man. Go Bulls, T-Red. Peace.
P-Will's P-Will at this point. I mean, that's just what it is. P-Will is P-Will. I think a great thing for P-Will is him coming into next season, understanding that his role is coming off the bench. To be a defender, to be a three-point shooter, coming off the bench. I think that's the perfect role for him. And I think that's where he's going to be. I think, you know, especially coming off the bench with Io, going to be more defense, right? Getting out in transition. And I think that's just where it is when it comes down to P-Will. P-Will is who P-Will is. And I don't think that changes until proven otherwise. Patrick Williams is a role player. And that doesn't mean he still can't be an effective role player. He can. I'm not going to say the things like some people like, oh, my God, he sucks. He's never going to play back. No, like, there's something to be said about a player that can average almost 10 points. He got to get back to better defense. But if you can average 10 points with solid defense coming off the bench, there's always a spot for you there. Is that going to be worth $19 million? Probably not. But, you know, that just is what it is, right? As far as losing Peter Patton, I mean, it sucks, bro. Now, I have said before, they have Wes Unseld, they have Dan Craig. Those guys have been, they have been given credit by Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Nikola Jovic. I'm not, no, Nikola Jovic, I'm sorry. Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, right? So these guys have worked with players before. And, you know, the person who was under Peter Patton also just stepped into his role. So, you know, the Bulls still have people with history of developing players in their staff. And let's hope that they're going to be able to get it. For Modest and the rookie you're bringing in, everybody else, let's hope so. All right, let's get into the next one, man. This one is from Will.
Peace to you, Hayes. My name is Will. I was the guy that a few weeks ago you put on the Summer Jam screen, as you call it, Mr. Sagittarius King. So this is my first time calling, man. I just want to say before I get into my question that I appreciate what you do. I think you're phenomenal at breaking the game down. I love it when you break down draft prospects. That's one of my favorite videos from you as well. So I just want to say keep doing what you do, man. You're awesome at it. And though we had a difference of opinion, it's all good. That's what men do. We don't always have to agree, you know? But I want to throw this at you. So in the summer, this coming summer, as you know, there's going to be guys that's going to be rookie extension eligible. I'm thinking like this. The Indiana Pacers are a team that they got to pay Miles Turner. But if they pay Miles Turner, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they may get pushed up into the first or second apron. I don't know all the particulars in that realm. But is there a possibility that Benedict Mathurin is available for a trade because they got to pay Miles Turner and they can't pay everybody because they already got Siakam on the deal? Of course, they got Tyrese Halliburton on the deal. I think that the Bulls need to keep an eye on that, like possibly if he becomes available going after Benedict Mathurin. AK already said that he wants players with experience, and Mathurin's been in the league a few years now. I think it's 3 years. I think he was in the 22 draft. Also, the OKC Thunder, they're getting ready to get expensive. And I was just thinking, maybe, just maybe, they can pry some of them young pieces away from them. Like Jay Will, not Jay Dub, but Jay Will from Arkansas. Usman Dieng, I think his name is. That might be some untapped potential. So the major point that I'm getting at is, this might be the Bulls' opportunity to like move and shake and get pieces, young pieces that other teams cannot afford to pay because they got.
Listen, bro, and this is the one that I alluded to earlier, Ben Mathurin. I love that you brought that up because Ben Mathurin is a restricted free agent in the summer of 2026. That's when the Bulls are going to have their most cap flexibility, and they could throw a large deal at Benedict Mathurin. Now, I still think that the Pacers are likely to match that offer with how things are shaking out now. Personal opinion, maybe somebody who follows the Pacers in every day, like I do the Bulls, maybe can get a better light on that. But the Pacers are in that place, like you said, they're dangerously close to being into the first tax saver. Now, I don't think the Pacers are one of the teams that have a mandate by their ownership not to pay the luxury tax, so that may not be an issue. But avoiding the second tax apron, I think, is an issue for every team in the league. I think teams have learned from the Phoenix Suns and even the Milwaukee Bucks on how restrictive that is. And so when you look at it, right, especially with Miles Turner and him being extension eligible, the Indiana Pacers next season are $27 million below the first tax apron, $39 million above the second tax apron, right? In the following year, the year that Ben Mathurin will be up for an extension, depending on what's going to happen with the Miles Turner extension, they're looking at it being about $30 million beneath the second tax apron. So they can still make it work, right, as far as keeping all those pieces. But, hey, if you throw a large contract offer sheet that could send them into the – and that's going to be something to watch out here for the next handful of years, right, is that teams that offer restricted free agents deals that send teams into the second tax apron. In the first tax apron, that's nothing. That's the usual luxury tax we're used to seeing. But for if you can make a offer sheet to a player that would send the team into the second tax apron, that's really where you test their gangster. That's where you test, hey, how much do you really want to keep this guy? And I think that's going to be the interesting part to watch over the next couple of free agencies with restricted free agents coming up for contract extensions. Luckily, the Bulls aren't never going to be close to that, but, you know, we'll see what that does, man. All right, let's get into the last voicemail for today, man. This one's from Brian Washington.
Yo, what's up, hey? This your boy, Brian Washington. I was just watching a video, man, on the money that they got and the assets, you know what I'm saying, the $81 million. I think they should just, I don't care what moves they make, as long as they make some smart moves this time. They don't necessarily have to go out and get no superstars, because we seen what happened with the superstars that we had. You know, I like Zach, I like DeMar. But when they let them go, other players got opportunity. Superstars kind of take away from the young guys. We don't need, and if you get one, get one. We don't need so many superstars. If you try not to tank and you trying to build, create a superstar. And I think we low-key got it. You know what I'm saying? We just have to be smart on which players we're going to move, which players we're not going to move. They don't necessarily have to go out and spend all that money. But like you said, I will take advantage of some of them. Modest and Giddy is going to be here for sure. I like Herter. I will keep Io, because Io is the glue of this team. Anytime you got a player that can go from playing point guard to power forward, you keep him. Io is cool. Anybody else can fucking go. P. Will, I'm with you on that. P. Will got to pull whatever the fuck he got in his ass out, because it ain't nobody's fault but him. It's on P. Will. Just defense even, you know what I'm saying, took a slide, because he don't have the confidence in himself. So I don't know. I'm not too big on keeping him neither. And like you said, if they do keep him, he's a bench player. Make him earn that shit. And I wouldn't even give them necessarily throw minutes at them. You got to earn it, you know. But they don't necessarily have to go and get superstars and jump all out there. But I would, you know what I'm saying, do something to make this team better. I would do something to make this team better. I like the way they run together right now. You add some young veterans. Now, don't go get no Kevin Garnett and them type veterans. No, let their ass go. You know what I'm saying? Get some young, up-and-coming veterans, and to blend in with this team you got. You know, and that's how I do that. They ain't got to jump all out there going to get superstars and all that shit. That shit did. The game has changed. It's faster. It's a team game now. You see a lot of teams that's loaded with superstars, but not playing much better basketball than the Bulls. You know what I'm saying? But I would like to see them get tougher and better, for sure. But have a good one, man. Keep doing your thing.
Making smart moves. Listen, you hit the nail on the head. That's what it's about. It's about and we didn't have superstars. Let's be clear. You said superstars. Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are not superstars, my boy. But it's not about that. It's about how the pieces fit together. It wasn't the fact that the Bulls made moves for stars or big high-volume players. It's that the roster didn't fit. DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic did not, they affected each other. Well, basically just DeMar affected Vooch because DeMar wasn't playing second fiddle to nobody, right? And they just didn't fit good, right? You can make a move for a star. It's not about having it, but it's about if you're going to go after a guy like that, make sure that you either are ready and prepared to reshape the roster where it fits better, or they're already more of a natural on-the-court fit for what you have. The Bulls didn't do that, and that's what bit them in their ass. So, you know, we'll see what happens when it comes down to that, making smart moves. But that all plays into the thing, make smart moves. That's all that. Make smart moves. As far as Ayo Dosunmu, I agree with you. He's basically our best perimeter defender on paper right now. He's a player that fits in seamlessly with any lineup. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. Even when the Bulls were playing like shit, all of our best and most effective lineups were with Ayo Dosunmu in it. Now, that changed over the second half of the season because of how well the Bulls played, you know, with after the Zach LaVine trade and stuff like that. But, like, Ayo's a player that really can fit in on just about any type of roster construction. I think that's an important part of that as well. We'll see, though. We shall see. But, all right, y'all, that's my time for today. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you left a voicemail, there's a lot of voicemails. Even if I don't get to it tomorrow, I will get to it. Monday, we'll do an overflow episode if needed. So stay in tune with us for that. You can follow us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns. BullCentralPod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.